Good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning. I forgot to tell Casey, next Sunday morning following morning services, let's have a quick vacation Bible school meeting just immediately following morning services, kind of try to figure out what field we're even playing on for vacation Bible school. And so that'll be next Sunday following the morning services. And I guess we mentioned it Wednesday night, but we'll congratulate Josh and AJ. They got on the city council. I guess congratulate's the right word, maybe sympathy. We'll find out, but we pray good things will come from both of them being on the board. I've probably told this story before, but there was a man by the name of Charles Blondin. And Charles Blondin was the first man to cross Niagara Falls on a tightrope. He ended up crossing Niagara Falls about 8 times on that tightrope. And he loved to put on a show when he did it. He'd do it blindfolded. He did it on stilts. He did it sometimes while pushing a wheelbarrow. And people would really turn out to see Charles Blondin cross Niagara Falls, walking the tightrope, pushing a wheelbarrow. And one time he was pushing the wheelbarrow across, and people were getting whipped into a frenzy. They were whooping, and they were hollering, and they were cheering him on. And when he got across, and he hadn't planned on asking this question, but like all good ideas, who thinks about them? He asked, "Who thinks that I can push a person across the tightrope in this wheelbarrow?" And of course, all the people cheered and when he asked that question, and so he followed it up with, "Okay, who wants to get in?" And everybody sort of laughed, and then the laughter got a little bit slower, and then it got awkwardly silent as Blondin just waited. "If you believe I can do this, who wants to do it?" But of course, nobody wanted to be the person to volunteer until one person did volunteer, and maybe his name is indicative of why he did that. A man by the name of Harry Colcord, who was Blondin's manager. He said, "Yeah, I'll let you push me across." Well, Charles Blondin wasn't really prepared for someone to volunteer to do that. But he did come back later, and Blondin carried Colcord over the falls on his back. Now that is what faith looks like. Faith goes beyond just intellectually saying, "Yes, I believe you can do that. Yes, I believe that's true." Faith says that I'm willing to put my life on the line. This month, we've been talking about the resurrection, but we're doing so in a way that goes beyond just saying that this happened. Faith in the resurrection is one thing to say, "Yes, I believe that Jesus can and has and will raise the dead." Faith goes beyond just saying, "I believe the resurrection happened and will happen," because Jesus calls those of us who say that we have faith in Jesus, that he can raise the dead, those of us who say that I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and he has the power over death, Jesus calls us to die with him, to die to the things of the world. He says, "If you believe me, essentially get on my back or get in my wheelbarrow. If you believe, then die to all the things of this world. If you believe that I can raise the dead back to life, then give me your whole life." As we read through the book of Colossians and what Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, this is exactly the kind of thing that he would say is that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that he is Lord, if you believe that he has the power of death, then live it out. Live out the resurrection. Our current situation, living through this pandemic, a moment in time where we have to change how we once did things. And it seems in some ways everything has changed, but maybe in that change, it has given us the opportunity to examine our priorities, to do some self-reflection. What am I chasing? What am I pursuing? What is it that I think will give me fulfillment? And I want us to think about that word this morning, fulfillment. Where is it that we think we will find fulfillment? Some of us do that chasing relational fulfillment. Sometimes when somebody is single, they think, "If I could only find someone, if I could only get married, if I could only find the person to spend the rest of my life with, then I will be fulfilled." Sometimes when people are in a relationship and they aren't happy, they might think, if this relationship ended, I might find fulfillment. Some of us are chasing financial fulfillment and thinking, if I just had more money, if I didn't have to wonder where the money was going to come from to pay these next set of bills, then we would be happy. Or some of us might be chasing professional or occupational fulfillment. If I had a better job, if I could just climb a little bit on the ladder, then I would be satisfied. What are you chasing? What are you pursuing? Where do you think you will find fulfillment? And Jesus says to us, and we know this, that Jesus says to us, I will fulfill you. I can fulfill you. I can give you contentment and true abiding happiness that the scripture calls joy. And Jesus says, I can give you these things. Do you believe me? And if we believe him, if you have faith that he can fill you and that he says, then give me your whole life. Give me your whole self and I will fulfill you. But the world is constantly saying, yes, okay, Jesus is good. Jesus is fine. Jesus is okay, but you need more than just Jesus. To be satisfied, you need more than Jesus. You need this or you need that. You can have satisfaction, or you can't have satisfaction with just Jesus. You need this other thing, and you can't have satisfaction. The world keeps telling you more and more that Jesus isn't the way for that. The world keeps telling you that while Jesus is fine, if you want to be satisfied, you have to listen to the world. But Jesus says, give me your whole self. If you want to find fulfillment, you can only find it in me. In a lot of ways, that was the situation that the church in Colossae was in. They were being bombarded with messages from other people saying, yes, Jesus is good and fine, and you can be followers of Jesus, but you need these other things. You need these other philosophies. You need these other teachings. Or unless you have this knowledge, or you go through this ritual or ceremony, unless you do this or you do that, you won't be fulfilled. Paul really wants to inoculate the church at Colossae against those types of teachings, against those types of messages, by telling people, if you have Jesus, you have everything you need. You can be fulfilled and complete and joyful in him, and you don't have to listen to or buy what these other people are selling. So let's look at our text this morning, beginning in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all those who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach with all richness of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And I'm sure you caught that. In whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge? In Jesus are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And again, we've said this numerous times. Do you want to know what life is all about? Then look no further than Jesus. Do you want to know how to be a better parent, a better spouse, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor? Do you want to know how to go through life and with conflict and come out with your held head high? Then look no further than Jesus. In him, in Jesus, are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. By observing Jesus and keeping your eyes on Jesus and imitating his faithfulness and his self-giving love and holding on to his promises, Jesus gives all wisdom and all the knowledge that we could possibly need. So, again, if you want to know what life is all about, a better whatever, look no further than Jesus, because Paul says all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. Verse 4 says, "I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and firmness of your faith in Christ." He says, I'm saying all of this so that you won't be deluded by somebody's argument. Well, when somebody comes up and says, yes, yes, you got Jesus and that's great, but you also need this knowledge. You also need this other wisdom. You also need this philosophy. You need to go through this ritual. You won't buy it because you know that all treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus. that if you want to know what life is all about and how to live your life, then you will keep your eyes on Jesus. But notice what he says there. These two things go together. Your good order and the firmness of your faith. Your good order, how you live your life, living an ordered life. And I don't know, this may not necessarily be bold, but I believe that weak faith results in a disordered life. And a strong faith results in an ordered life. When my focus, just speaking of myself personally, when my focus is not on Jesus and my faith isn't on Jesus, or my faith isn't strong and I'm distracted by all the messages of the world that say I need to do more, I need to know more, I need to be more, my faith isn't anchored strongly in Jesus, in a moment, that's when my life gets tossed to and fro. How about some of you? That moment that I don't act like I'm supposed to, or I don't say what I'm supposed to, or do what I'm supposed to, are the moments when I am not focused and not anchored in and rooted in and built upon Jesus. When I'm not intentionally setting my mind on Jesus. But those moments when I am focused on and rooted in and built up in Jesus are the moments in my life that are the most ordered. Those two things go hand in hand, a well-ordered life and faith in Jesus. And so Paul says, I want to be rejoicing to see your good order and your firmness of your faith in Christ. That's what this letter really is all about. Verse 6 says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Paul says, Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. You received him as Lord. You said, I believe it, and you were baptized into him. You received this knowledge and understanding and wisdom. But faith goes even beyond that. Faith goes beyond receiving Christ Jesus as Lord. And Paul says, now that you've received him, walk in him. And again, it's one thing to say, I believe that Jesus can raise the dead. It's another thing to say, because I believe this is true, Jesus hears my life. Because I believe you can raise the dead, because I believe that you have a better world for us, I say, here I am. My hands and my feet, my eyes and my mind and my mouth and my wealth and my everything I have, I give it to you, because I believe so often our Christianity, though, stops at an intellectual thing. It stops sometimes with knowledge and understanding. We say, yes, I received Christ Jesus as Lord. I was baptized into him. I believe all the right stuff. And Paul says, that's good. Believe it, and because you believe it, walk in him. Now it's time to live it out. And these moments in our lives, these moments of crisis, are perfect opportunities for us to say, am I living this out? Am I really doing what I say I believe? I say I believe Jesus can bring the dead back to life. I say that I believe Jesus Christ is in charge, and that he is king, and that he has all authority in heaven and earth, and has been given to him. And now it's my opportunity to ask, am I walking in him? Have I climbed on his back? Have I got in his wheelbarrow? Have I died to self and to the world and said, I'm yours, Lord, because I believe it, and I want to live out the resurrection. Verse 8, Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. And just notice a couple of things. He says, don't be taken into captivity by these philosophies and deceits and human tradition and elemental spirits of the world. Everything that philosophy has to offer, everything that knowledge has to offer, even when it's right, even when it's good, is still not as much as what Jesus has to offer. It's still subject to him. It's still inferior to Christ. Everything the world has to offer, again, even when it's at its best, even when it's absolutely true, even when it's enjoyable, it is inferior to what Jesus has to offer us. The world says, look, this is good. You should accept this. You should try this. You should believe this. You should follow this, and you should think this way. And you really need all of that. And we think that we have this hole that needs to be filled, and I'm empty, and I need something else. I need something in addition. As long as we have that kind of mindset and have that emptiness in it, there are those that are going to come and offer us something else. But Paul says, listen, no. If you've been filled with Jesus, you are complete in Him. You have everything you need in Jesus Christ. And if we have that mentality that says, I have everything in Jesus, then no matter what comes along that says you need to have this too, or something that comes along and takes away what we have that we think we need, we don't have to worry. If we embrace and understand that in Jesus we are complete, we are filled, and everything this world has to offer is inferior to what we already have in Jesus. Everything that we need to know about God and everything we need to know about being human, we can find in Jesus. Why? Because the whole fullness of God dwells in Him bodily. The whole fullness of God dwells bodily in Jesus. So everything that you need to know about God and everything you need to know about being human, you can find in Jesus Christ. Paul wants the church at Colossae to know this so they can know and they can understand that they are complete. You have enough. You can be satisfied. You don't have to buy what the world is selling you. And I want all of us to know that as well. The world, of course, would have you believe that unless you have all the stuff, all the toys, all the accolades, all the promotions, the world would have you believe if you don't have the right kind of knowledge or money or stuff, then you can't be satisfied. But Jesus wants you to know that you have everything you need in Him, that He will fill you up. Look at verse 11. He says, in Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And you think back to the Old Testament. Think back to the law of Moses. What was circumcision all about? It was God's way of marking His people to say, you belong to me. You're a holy people, and I accept you. Paul's saying here to the Gentile Christian that you weren't physically circumcised when you became a Christian. That they were circumcised by Jesus in a spiritual way. That they were circumcised in a way that wasn't done by hands, but He wants them to know that in Jesus, you are His. You are accepted. You are holy. Not because of circumcision. So when the circumcisers come and say, you can't be fulfilled, you can't be satisfied, you can't be accepted unless you go through this ritual, you can say to them, no, I already have enough. I'm already complete. I'm already fulfilled. I'm already holy and accepted because of what Jesus has done for me. Verse 12 says, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. And what a picture that is. This baptism is a burial with Jesus, just like he says in Romans chapter 6. He's saying, when you were baptized with Him, you were buried with Him. Don't we see that this is what faith does? Faith says, because I believe and because I believe that you can raise the dead, I give you my life. I don't just say, I believe in the resurrection as something that happened. We say resurrection is something we want to experience, not just in the end. We will experience it in the end, but I want to experience it right now. And that's what we experienced with our baptism. Being raised up and to embrace a life, a totally different kind of life. This is what faith does. Faith says, I believe that Jesus can raise the dead, and so I give Him my whole life. And Paul says, when you were baptized, you were buried with Jesus in baptism, and He raised you with Him through faith in the powerful working of God. Verse 13 says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them, or triumphing them in him. Whatever stood against us, or enslaved us, or indebted us, Jesus has defeated. Jesus has, again, defeated everything that has enslaved us, whether it's rulers, or whether it's authorities, or whether it's spirits, whether it's the law. Jesus has disarmed every enemy, and he has triumphed over them. And so Paul wants them to know this. So again, when the world comes knocking, and when false teachers come knocking, and they want to offer some philosophy or some ritual, and says, in order to be complete, in order to be accepted, in order to be forgiven, you need this, you can say, no, I already have Jesus. And in Christ, I have everything I need. In Christ, as Christians, we can say, I am complete. We can say, I am alive. I am forgiven. I am accepted. I am victorious. That's what Paul wants them to know that they are. And Paul wants them to know what they have in Christ. Fulfillment. Satisfaction, joy. In Christ you are complete. In Christ you are alive. You are forgiven. Again, accepted, victorious. You don't need anything but Jesus. But it has to go beyond just believing this is true. It has to go beyond just an intellectual thing. Paul would say, listen, now that you have received Christ as Lord, walk in him. Now live it. Follow him. Fulfillment is found in following. Fulfillment is found in following. It isn't just found in acknowledging. Fulfillment isn't found just in knowing. Fulfillment isn't found just in believing. Fulfillment is found in following. If you believe that Jesus can raise the dead, then give him your whole life. Follow him. We have this amazing opportunity before the world really goes back to full speed to stop and ask, am I following? Am I giving him my whole self? So let me fill this out just a little bit more. If you believe that Jesus can raise the dead, then give him your whole life, and only then will you find true fulfillment. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean in practical ways to give him our whole life? Paul goes on in Colossians and describes what it looks like in a family for a husband to give Jesus his whole life and live that out in a marriage. For a wife to give Jesus her whole life and live that out in her marriage. For parents to give their whole lives to Jesus and live that out in parenting. For children to give their whole self to Jesus and live that out as being children to their parents. For masters to live that out with their servants, and for servants to live that out with their masters. Jesus would describe what it looks like to give our whole self in the Sermon on the Mount. What does it look like to give Jesus our whole life? Well, it looks like turning the other cheek. It looks like going the extra mile. It looks like embracing a worldview and a perspective that says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you when you are persecuted and reviled and people say all kinds of evil against you on his account. This is what it looks like to give Jesus your whole life, to love your neighbors as yourselves, to love our enemies, to do good to those who do evil to us. Jesus says, if you believe in the resurrection, that I have been raised from the dead, if you believe that I have the power over death, if you believe that I have a better world to offer you, then give me your whole life and I will fill it up. I will give you satisfaction and fulfillment and acceptance that you otherwise could not have. Jesus tells us that discipleship has a cost. Luke chapter 14 tells us to count the cost. That kind of living has a cost. To give Jesus our whole life has a cost. But it not only says that discipleship has a cost, but non-discipleship has a cost as well. Deciding I'm not going to give him my whole life, that I'm not going to give my whole self. there's a cost to that as well. Not just an eternal cost, but one right now. It costs you fulfillment. Right now, it costs you the ability to say, I am truly alive. I am complete. I am holy. I am accepted. By giving Jesus our whole self and by saying, it's yours, Lord, do with it as you please, because I believe you have the power over life and death. In giving him our whole self, we can say, in Christ, I am alive. In Christ, I am complete. In Christ, I am accepted. In Christ, I am forgiven. And in Christ, I am victorious. This is the life we can have in Jesus, but it goes beyond just knowing. It goes beyond just accepting. It has to be following. Now that you have received Christ Jesus as the Lord, so walk in him. This morning, we are here to help you in any way that we can. Please reach out to one of us. If you're ready to put Jesus on in baptism, or you need the prayers, or you need someone to physically help you with a burden that you can't carry for yourself, let us be there for you. Because in Christ, we have all these blessings, and we want and we need to share them with each other and with our community. This morning, if you are not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision. Again, if you need the prayers of the congregation, now would be an opportune time as together we stand and we sing.